Welcome to Heart with Keisha B., the podcast that focuses on the journey of grief, healing, and overcoming unforeseen circumstances. Whether you're dealing with loss or life challenges, this is a podcast that you don't want to miss. I am your host, Keisha B. So take a deep breath, open your mind and your soul, and sit back as we embark on this journey together. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another week of Heart to Heart with Keisha B. As always, as you know, and I always say, every week we'll be bringing somebody to you that will talk about grief, healing, and overcoming unforeseen circumstances. So today we have Dr. Nicole. Dr. Nicole is a pediatrician, the owner of a successful healthcare consulting company, a reverend keynote and TED speaker, and the mom of two beautiful young adult daughters. From the outside, she appears to have it all. But in 2023, she was faced with the most challenge of her life ending, a 28-year marriage and navigating heartbreak, deception, and loss. A recovering perfectionist and pivotal strong friend, Dr. Nicole experienced a transformation journey of healing by embracing vulnerability and discovering the power of her community. Rooted in her faith, Dr. Nicole is committed to creating a safe space where other women who have experienced a divine disruption can heal, recover, and thrive. As a host of Your Next Chapter podcast, Dr. Nicole shares insights from her own journey and cultivates meaningful conversations with experts, thoughts, leaders, and women who are thriving in the spite of and because of life challenges. So today we have Dr. Nicole with us. Dr. Nicole, how are you doing today?
Oh, Keisha, I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me on your podcast and congratulations.
Thank you. So Dr. Nicole, as you know, let me say this to our listeners. Today's podcast is 28 years together, a lifetime ahead, healing and embracing the next chapter. So Dr. Nicole, as I've heard your story and as I have shared a little bit of your story with our listeners today, I am so excited again to have you here on our podcast to be able to unwrap, if that makes sense, who you are and share you with our listeners. So at this time, Dr. Nicole, I'm going to turn it over to you to tell us a little bit about yourself and what got you here.
Ooh, what got me here? Yeah. Well, as you stated, I am a pediatrician by training. I am no longer practicing clinical medicine. I pivoted into entrepreneurship in 2017. And that was after a caregiving journey with my late father and realizing how difficult it was for us to navigate the healthcare system, even with me being a doctor and wanting to advocate and educate and empower other patients and family caregivers. And I think that's important because it kind of was the beginning of me using a difficult situation in my life to then turn it around and help others. So I have that company that I've had for the last 7 years. I am a mom. That's probably my greatest accomplishment. As you mentioned in the intro, I'm the mom of two daughters. They are currently 24 and 29. I'm a sister, a friend, I'm so many things. And what got me to where I am now is, as you stated, a very painful divorce. You know, I was married to who was my high school sweetheart, for lack of a better word. I was 17 and he was 18 when we met and started dating. And he was, from that point on, the only person that I was romantically involved with. We got married shortly before I turned 25. We have two kids, and I thought this was the person that I was going to spend the rest of my life with. And unfortunately, there was some things that came to light last year that really just destroyed everything that I knew about him and about us.
And I know our listeners are thinking the same thing that I am right now. That's tough. Right. To say that this was my first. Right. And then to go all of these years and now here I am today with something that was unforeseen And that now I have to, and now I am, should I say, and now you are healing through this journey.
Yeah, definitely.
Dr. Nicole, as we talk about life, right? Life of a young teenager who was just trying to figure out what love really was, right? Moving into this environment and then moving from that to mother to wife. Can you share how meeting your husband at a young age shaped your perspective of love, marriage, as well as personal growth over the years?
That's a great question, Keisha, because it's something that I have been personally reflecting on a lot and something that I recently talked about on my own podcast. Mm-hmm. This idea of love and what really is love and how do we learn about love? And the idea, like you said, that I entered into a relationship, a very serious relationship at the tender age of 17. Mm-hmm. And so now, you know, I'm 54. I'm like, what did I really know? Like, did I really know what I was doing?
Right.
And it's not to say that I didn't love him. I absolutely loved him. But as a teenager and as a young adult, I think that, you know, I'll just speak for myself. What I mm-hmm. thought love was very kind of a fantasy, fairy tale situation. I did not truly understand the reality of love. And mm-hmm. to be honest, I didn't attach I'll say requirements, for lack of a better word. And mm-hmm. when I say that, I grew up hearing in church and other spiritual references, you know, you hear about love and unconditional love and love thy neighbor. So mm-hmm. those were kind of the references that I had. I didn't have a lot of references to healthy marital love because my parents were divorced at a very, mm-hmm. when I was very young, and many other people in my family were divorced. And so I don't feel like I had a lot of healthy examples of love. Mm-hmm. And so I had to rely on what I saw on TV or, you know, what I read in books and things like that and what I heard in church. And so I think for me, I had this ideal of love and as being something that was desirable and beautiful and amazing. And all those things are true, but I didn't fully appreciate that love requires action. Mm-hmm. So that even though, like I said, there was this like devastating revelation of infidelity and betrayal that led to the end of my marriage, when I really have had the time to look back, there were lots of signs that the love that I professed and the love that he professed was really flawed. And mm-hmm. the actions were often not there. Like if I really sit down and take an inventory, a realistic inventory of our mm-hmm. marriage, there were a lot of things that did not demonstrate love.
Right. You know, Dr. Nicole, you bring up something that sort of hit home for me, right? Because I met my ex-husband in college as well. And he was not my first boyfriend or my first love, he was my husband. He eventually became my husband. And after years of processing why the marriage didn't work, or better yet, why I got married, I then began to look inside to realize my reasons for getting married was because I was wanting something that I didn't have as a kid, right? I was wanting my children to have a mother and a father, but in my mind, that correlated husband and wife.
Yeah.
And so I completely understand what you mean in regards to that first love, having a what we believe to be a real understanding of love, but really a fantasy of what we really want love to be. And so I completely understand what you mean in regards to that and can relate as well. Yeah. in so many different things that you just stated without really going, you know, too deep in this, because this ain't about me. This is about Dr. Nicole, but I can completely understand, Dr. Nicole, what you're saying today. Yeah. So as you continue to talk about your marriage and different things that happen, I heard you say, you know, when you really look at it and you really take a deeper dive, there was a lot of signs there, all right, that sometimes we as women, we tend to overlook because we're a mom, you know, we want these things to happen. We don't want to look like the statistics of what the world may be showing. But let me ask you a question. After 28 years of marriage, what emotions or realizations, right, were the hardest to confront you as you navigate it? And let's go into the branding, the next chapter.
Yeah, so many. I think early on, I think the most difficult emotions for me were dealing with the betrayal and having to reconcile who I thought my ex-husband was with who he really is. Mm-hmm. And literally replaying in my mind, you know, romantic moments that we had or trips that we took or family vacations, and reconciling, you know, cards that he gave me and letters mm-hmm. that he wrote and text messages and all these things that he professed to feel about me and for me and how he cared mm-hmm. for me and loved me, all these things. And then again, going back to that actions and love, reconciling that with not just what he did, but what it revealed about his character. Yeah. And that was very, very difficult for me, you know, and there were feelings of course, hurt and anger and sadness. And then also the emotions about myself. I am a physician. I am smart. You know, I am accomplished. And so it's like, what the heck, Nicole? Like, how did you not see all of these things? How is it that in your professional life, you are very meticulous and very scientific? And even in personal relationships, I am generally someone who I don't shy away from conflict. Usually I ask questions, I get to the bottom mm-hmm. of things. And in hindsight, I can see how that part of me shrunk in my marriage. And after a while, the questions, I stopped asking as many questions. And to mm-hmm. your point about not wanting to know or not wanting to see. And so I really had to spend and continue to spend time self-reflecting mm-hmm. and looking at myself and starting to understand the role that I played. You know, why did I stay so long? Did I see some of these signs? Did I choose to ignore those signs? Mm-hmm. So there have been a lot of emotions that I would say I'm still dealing with today.
So that brings up an interesting point, because I think so often when we're faced with challenges, right? And some challenges are self-induced, some challenges are not. But the interesting component that as you're speaking of the characteristics, or what I hear you say, the lack thereof, or what you thought was the characteristics of this person when you were married versus who has been revealed, it sounds to me that in that you're also doing a self-reflection of your own self, of yes. who you were, who you had known yourself to be versus who was being presented in this marriage.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the reality is that I changed. I found myself without always realizing it. And it wasn't an intentional thing. Mm-hmm. But when you are in a toxic relationship, particularly with someone who is manipulative, and I will admit that in the moment, I did not realize these things. So what mm-hmm. I'm sharing now are all, you know, hindsight 2020 revelations, when you can put all those pieces of the puzzle together. Mm-hmm. But in the relationship, I shifted, I shrunk, I changed to keep the peace, you know, because I loved my ex-husband. I loved the family that we had created. And like you said, Keisha, coming from a divorced household, I did make a pledge to myself that, you know, my marriage was going to be forever and I was not going to be like my parents and my kids were not going to have to go through what my siblings and I went through. So as a result of that, you know, I do think, of course, in any marriage or any long-term relationship, there's give and take. So I'm not implying mm-hmm. that you shouldn't change. Like when you're in mm-hmm. that type of relationship, there are some things that you may change, but the core of who you are should never change. And I think what I'm realizing now is that some of the core elements of who Nicole is, mm-hmm. those elements of me just got smaller and smaller and smaller. And the person that I had to be to maintain this 28-year marriage is really mm-hmm. not who I was designed to be. And it's a smaller version of myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A lot of what I also heard you say, Dr. Nicole, was symptoms of grief, right? The anger, the sadness, the, you know, all the other things that come with grief. I'm sure there's the shock, there's the denial, there's the, you know, at what point do you get to the point of acceptance through all of this and just trying to get an understanding of how the hell did I get here?
Yeah.
Right? How the hell did this happen? How the hell did I get here? Yep. And so let's talk about your children. Mm-hmm. Right. But let's start from the adult children and go backwards. Let's talk about how as mom is on the next chapter of her life what does this look like for adult children who all their life have known mom and dad to be husband and wife?
Yeah, that's a great question. I've had conversations with my daughters about this, and we recorded a podcast episode about it as well. For them, you know, in their own words, one of my daughters specifically said that in some ways she thinks it's harder to have gone through divorce as a young adult. And I think that's really important, because as a mom and also as a pediatrician, I don't think I fully appreciated the impact of divorce on adults, like young adults. Mm-hmm. And we spent a lot of time talking to parents about, you know, how to mitigate the impact of divorce and other types of trauma on little kids and the conversations that you need to have. And but what she explained is that, you know, when you are a young adult, you have a lot more understanding of what's going on. And also by that time, you're in your own romantic relationships. And so my daughters were able to articulate how not just the divorce, but the marriage and growing up in the household where they were seeing things, honestly, Keisha, that I didn't even see. You know, kids are very smart. They're very observant. And their experience of our relationship and our marriage was very different than my experience. And so for them, you know, like you said, this was their whole life, for better or for worse.
Right.
And so it's a disruption in the family. It's a disruption in everything that they knew. You know, I mentioned family vacations. There won't be, there'll be family vacations, but if they won't look like they looked before. Right. And so it's like, it is a grieving process, because you're having to let go of that former life and exchange it for what does this new life look like? And we're, you know, creating new memories and creating new traditions. So I think they're doing a phenomenal job navigating it. But it has been difficult for them, for sure.
And I was, you know, I think it's fair to say that any new is going to always present some challenges, is because of the unknown, the fear that comes with the unknown of what's on this other side of this chapter. Right. As I'm healing, what things are going to come out, what emotions that I didn't recognize were there, what memories are going to come out that I did not recognize that was there, you know? And so, again, I think anything that's new can present some unforeseen challenges as well. But the good thing about it is that you're prepared to begin healing, to recognize when those new things come up.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, Dr. Nicole, as you spoke about recognizing, you know, some things that you did not recognize when you were in your marriage about Dr. Nicole, what were some key moments or practices that helped you rediscover yourself and heal during this next chapter?
I would say for me as a Christian, prayer has been a huge part of my healing journey. And just praying and meditating and having open and honest conversations with God, expressing my anger to God and my disappointment, like, God, why did you allow this to happen? Why didn't you wake me up sooner? So that's been big. Journaling is something that I've been doing. It's something that I've always kind of wanted to do, but I've never been consistent with it. But now I am really consistent at journaling. And sometimes that's writing in a journal, a physical journal. And sometimes that's grabbing my phone and opening up a note and, you know, typing out my thoughts in that moment. I've been doing a gratitude journal for really the last 2 years. So even before my divorce process. And I think that was very helpful and has continued to be very helpful in my healing, because even in the midst of all the pain and the sorrow and the distress, being able to still focus on, you know, what's good in my life. And there are a lot of good, there are a lot of beautiful things in my life in spite of all of that. Coaching has been extremely helpful, and therapy. I have a really good coach and a good therapist. And so getting that emotional and psychological support has been helpful. My friends and family have been phenomenal. They have cared for me in ways that just make my heart sing. So I've had, you know, lunches and dinners and concerts and plays and conversations and just all types of things from my friends. So I would say, you know, there's so many more things likely, but those are some of the ways that I have been able to heal.
So Dr. Nicole, I've looked at your Facebook. So you've talked about things that you've done from mental health to life coach to family support to friend support. But something that really caught my attention was you in the rage room. Tell me about that.
Oh, man, that was amazing. I had heard of rage rooms before, and I think my youngest daughter went to one with some friends, mm-hmm. but I had never participated in it myself. So speaking of friends, I was at a conference last year in New Orleans, and I met up with a girlfriend who lives there, and she knew what I was going through. This was early in the divorce process, and she was like, I'm going to take you to a rage room. So we went into this room, and they had bottles, like liquor bottles and all kinds of other bottles and bumpers from cars and electronics and all these things and bats. They gave us these big bats and all kinds of like mallets. And you go in there, I think it was like 30 minutes mm-hmm. and they give you an aux cord. So you can like, you know, you can either use their playlist or you can play songs from your own phone. And you literally just beat the heck out of these things. And Keisha, it was so cathartic. And they had warned us before my girlfriend and I went in, you know, they give you a little orientation, you have to put on safety goggles and all this stuff. But the person also talked to us about the fact that we would likely experience an emotional release. And I didn't really know what that would be. So in the beginning, we're just like, you know, we're just banging stuff up and we're laughing and we're taking pictures of each other. And then that release came. And I remember I just hit something really hard. And the glass shattered and I just started crying. And then at another point, my friend started crying. And I highly recommend it for anybody going through grief, because while I could definitely acknowledge that I was angry, I am somebody that I still, to some extent, you know, I'm in this kind of box. I have this image, so to speak. And my youngest daughter lives with me. And so I have been very intentional about, not that I don't want her to see my pain. She saw me cry, but generally I didn't want her to get caught up in my own grief. And so I would typically grieve privately, you know, like maybe if she wasn't home or maybe I'd go in my bathroom and shut the door and cry, but I hadn't like done a lot of screaming and things like that. And so I feel like in some ways that rage room was my first opportunity to be completely uninhibited with my feelings. And so, yeah, it was amazing. In fact, I probably need to go back and do a part two. There, I know there's some in my area, too, so I need to go find one.
So what I hear is, because I'm sure everybody is not afforded the opportunity to have it in their area, right? It's just finding something that will allow for you to release, that will allow for you to exert all of these things that's built up that sometimes we may not even quite be aware of. Is what I hear you saying. It's just finding something, whether it's screaming, whether it's throwing a football, whether it's playing tennis, it's just exerting that energy that is so pent up in us that can keep us stuck, for lack of better words, of where we may be emotionally.
You're absolutely right. And I just want to add that it really has to do with the physical. You know, we can, we feel our emotions, but our body is absorbing all of that. And so this is like having a physical release, like the ways you mentioned, you know, hitting a tennis ball or kicking a ball or I don't know, kicking a wall that you may not mind messing up. But there's something about harnessing that physical energy and allowing that to release your emotional energy that is so powerful.
So I would almost venture to say that that's where your healing started to begin, to some component.
To some extent, yeah. I mean, you know, I was definitely healing before that, but that took it to a whole nother level for sure.
So Dr. Nicole, today, as we have been talking about your next chapter, I've been using that word very intentionally. And the reason for that is because it's not just a phrase, it's also the title of your podcast. So you want to share with us how this became the title of your podcast, Your Next Chapter?
Yes, thank you for that question. The title for the podcast was initially birthed out of a party that I threw for myself, invited about 50 of my closest friends and family members, specifically those who were a vital part of, you know, healing, my healing and supporting me during the divorce journey. And so I threw this party called a freedom party, not a divorce party, but a freedom party. And as I was with one of my good girlfriends, in the weeks leading up to the party, we were trying to think of the name for what would be my signature drink. And we ended up coming up with this name, Nicole's Next Chapter. So I was like, oh my gosh, that's not going to just be the name of the drink. That's going to be the name of the party. So as I sent out invitations, that was the branding for the party. You know, come to Nicole's Next Chapter. We're celebrating Nicole's Next Chapter. And so fast forward, after the party was over, during one of my early morning prayer sessions, my conversation with God, I felt him tell me that this was going to be my next venture. Now, if I go back just a moment, in the early stages of finding out about my ex-husband's infidelity and betrayal and filing for divorce and all of those things, I knew somehow that this was going to be used in a bigger way. I didn't know how, but I was starting to get those same feelings that I had after my dad passed away with regard to, like, this is, you can use this for good. And it was like God was telling me, you know, that whole ashes turning beauty, ashes to beauty, or beauty from ashes, that scripture kept coming up for me. And so I knew that this was going to lead to something, but I didn't know what the something was going to be. And so fast forward, we had the party, Nicole's Next Chapter. And then a few days later, it's like, Next Chapter, like, that's going to be the name. That is, you're going to have a business. It's going to be called Next Chapter. And then from there was not just Next Chapter, but Your Next Chapter. So that's really what birthed the name for the podcast. And the podcast is really my gift to other women. One of the things that helped me so much, I mentioned, was my community. And the only way that my community was able to help me is through my own vulnerability. I'm not somebody who usually shares a lot about my personal life, even with close friends. And so, but during this divorce, I just felt like I had no choice. And so I started sharing in ways that were atypical for me, but it called my community to me, and so many friends and family members, and even people who were not in my intimate close circle wanted to support me. And so what I began to realize is that there are a lot of women who go through divorce and other forms of grief and loss in silence. Yes. And I saw how powerful my community was for me. And so I said, I need to be that for other women. And so the podcast is really my way of letting other women know that they're not alone, particularly high achieving women like myself, who may be put on these pedestals and people may think that we have these perfect lives and these perfect families and all those things. And so it really is like the extreme measure of vulnerability for me to share, not just like what happened, but the journey that I've been on to healing. And my hope is that it empowers other women and inspires other women, and that they see themselves in me and in my story, and ultimately that they are able to step boldly into their new season of life, whether it's after divorce or losing a job or managing some type of, you know, catastrophic illness or injury or losing a loved one.
Yeah. So Nicole, that brings up something very personal for me, right? Because I heard several different things as you were speaking. I heard you say you turned something that the world see, and it does have some sense of negativity to it, right? Because like you say, it causes you to look at yourself in ways that you didn't look at yourself before, but also you were able to shift from that to something that is now positive in regards to you being able to heal, but you being able to show yourself to other people that you're vulnerable. But ultimately, what does that say? Ladies, men, whomever, you're not alone in this situation, and you don't have to feel that you have to keep it all on the inside, because there are people out here who do understand, as our stories may look different, but we do understand. And there are a community of people out here who's willing to help and to listen and to help.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and as I talk about, you know, some of the similarities in regards to changing something from negative to positive, you know, the world sometimes can cause us, right? Because sometimes it's easier to be negative, and it takes a little bit more effort to be positive, if that makes sense, but it is possible. So, you know, as I share a little bit about myself, and I share a little bit about this on some of my other episodes, is that I lost my son, right? One of the hardest things that has ever happened in my life, from a child to an adult. And as it's very easy, or could have been very easy, for me to lie in the bed, woe it's me, isolate myself from people because that's very common of me, right? I'm a very A-type personality. I don't really share a lot with family, friends, or whomever. But that was a moment of my life that I said, I have to do something different, as uncomfortable as it was. And that was turning my sorrow into service. That was giving myself to other folk to know that as it is very tough for me to lose my child, as it is very tough many days for me to talk about it, I cannot live this life of silence because I am not the only mother who's lost a child. I won't be the only mother who loses a child. But what I know is that there is healing, even though everyone's pattern is different, there is healing in things that tell us sometimes that we're supposed to be stuck in negativity.
Yeah. And I do want to just say, you know, I'm really sorry about your loss. I cannot imagine as a mom, I can't imagine that. And that's one of the things that I admire you so much for, and your platform and the ways that you are helping all of us who are dealing with different forms of sorrow see that there are ways to turn that into positivity. And you're right. It is easier. I mean, I don't know about you, Keisha, but I've had friends that have said, girl, if it was me, I would have done this, or I would have done this, or I would have said this. And it's like, yes, I mean, sometimes you do want to go there. You do want to sit in the negativity, but it's just so much more powerful, in my opinion, to find the positive. And it doesn't mean that we ignore the hurt and the loss and the pain, because that's not helpful either. But you use that, you go through that. And as you're healing from that, you turn it into something that will help others. So I just want to thank you publicly for what you do.
Thank you for that. And sometimes I always tell people it's just about shifting words, because words are powerful, right? And so when you buy into a positive word, ultimately your mind's going to begin to allow those things to resonate through your body, to where then you will begin to see that on days that you just want to lie in bed, those words can change everything about your energy and everything about the outcome of the day.
So true. I agree 100%.
Yeah. So Dr. Nicole, I know that you've shared an abundance of information with our listeners today and me. Let me not forget about myself. So I thank you as well. But what advice would you offer someone who is facing grief, as well as they're at the end of a long-term relationship, especially someone who feels like that starting over is just impossible?
Yeah, I think my first piece of advice would be to just like sit still for a moment. Because if you're type A, like me and Keisha B, you may have a tendency to just want to fix it, solve it, and then move on. I mean, that's often how I have managed my life, which is probably partially to explain why I stayed in the marriage for 28 years. But sometimes you just have to sit still. And so for me, that was very important. And so I would say to the listeners, sit still and just acknowledge the gravity. This is big. You know, if you find yourself at the end of a long-term relationship, marriage, friendship even, and you're finding that it's time to sever those ties, acknowledge that that's a huge thing and allow yourself to grieve that loss. That would be my first piece of advice. My next piece of advice would be to please not do this alone. We both talked about how friends and family have helped us so tremendously. I honestly don't know how I would have gotten through this intact with my sanity and my peace and my joy without friends and family. And so even if it's just one person in your community, in your network that you trust, find that one person and open up and be vulnerable and share with them. And with that, allow them to love on you, allow them to help you, allow them to treat you to things. It was hard for me to accept help initially. And now I've been growing that muscle. And so I've been saying yes when my beautiful friends and family members want to do something for me, instead of saying, no, that's okay. So accept the help that is surrounding you. Most likely your friends and family members are waiting for the opportunity to love on you and to support you. So that would be, those would be my pieces of advice.
Thank you for that. One thing that I've recognized through this whole interview is that your focus has been on Nicole in her healing throughout this interview have not been about diving into the what's, the whys, and the what's and the whys, right? And yeah. I think that's very important as one is beginning to heal. It's so easy for us to point fingers, look at all the pictures that are cracked, right? All the pictures that's cracked in our head. It's so easy to do that. But the question is that really going to help you? Is that really going to help your healing? My answer to many is that it's not, right? It's going to keep us stuck. Now, it doesn't mean that Dr. Nicole has forgotten. It doesn't mean that our listeners have forgotten. It doesn't mean that what they have endured was right. It just means that in order for you as the person to begin to and to continue to heal, you sort of have to, it ain't no sort of, you have to put yourself in that bubble to focus on your personal growth. And so I do want to commend you, Dr. Nicole, as you have shared yourself with our listeners today, that your focus, and I know that it's not just for this podcast, it is truly where you are in your life, that you are focusing on Nicole and how Nicole can continue to grow and heal through something that she didn't ask for.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you. You're absolutely right. I mean, you're very intuitive. And you're right. And admittedly, in the very beginning, when the rug was pulled out from under me, yeah, I was stuck. I mean, I was waking up every morning and going to sleep every night, replaying things. And, you know, and then, like you said, at some point, okay, that happened. There's nothing I can do about that. Like, this is the reality. And what, and now I've decided that I'm going to end the marriage. And now the focus is on me and my healing. And you're right. Like, I don't remember exactly when it happened, but there absolutely was a shift in me where I finally stopped replaying all of the horrible things that he did, all of the things, you know, all the memories. And I had to say, okay, Nicole, what do you want moving forward? And so that's where I am now. And it's a much happier place.
Right. And I want to assume, sometimes we all know what assumptions can be, right? But I want to assume, based upon the layers that you stated that allowed you to heal, meaning your supportive systems, your personal coping mechanisms, that your life coach, as well as your counselor, sort of got you to where you are. And I say those things because professionally, I am a counselor and I'm also a life coach. And so I know the impact that those two entities can have on helping someone navigate a new way of thinking.
Yes, I will. I am like a walking commercial for life coaching and therapy, seriously, because they, you know, when you're going through these types of situations, you're in your own head, and it takes an outsider, like an objective person, not your sister who just, you know, may want to go beat the person up. Or, and not your best friend, you know, those people have been helpful, but a trained professional who can listen to you objectively. And then for me, both of them, my therapist and my coach, asked such amazing questions that really had me looking at everything very differently. That was the beginning of the work of me starting to see, like, why did I make this decision? Why did I fall in love with this person in the first place? Why did I, you know, why did I choose to marry this person? Why did I stay so long? And being able to connect those decisions to my own childhood. And, you know, it's just been like almost like unraveling and unraveling and unraveling. And then finally you get to, okay, this is all, these are all the things that made up who I am today. And these are the things that shaped my decisions. And then once you have an understanding of that, then you can make better decisions. And so that's where I am now. Like, I can't change what happened, but I can tell you one thing, Keisha, I will never, I may make some other mistakes. I may make some other mistakes, but I will never make those types of mistakes again, because now I have a clear understanding of how I got there. And so that's been incredibly valuable. And I don't think there's any number of books that I could have read or any other work that would have led me to where I am now without those professionals. So yes, please, therapy, coaching, prayer, like therapy, coaching, prayer, therapy, coaching, prayer. Those are my three.
That's the ingredients right there.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, you bring us something that's very interesting for me as well. Very personal, right? Relation in regards to being able to understand. So I have a 27-year-old daughter, and she and her brother were younger when her father and I separated and then later divorced. But when she and I, we talk today and we talk about me getting into a new relationship, or what does that look like? And all those different things I share with her. And it's not pointing fingers, right? It's recognizing who I am. Well, it's recognizing who I was and how I have grown. And what I share with her is that I will never point fingers at the situations and the experiences. But what I can do is wrap a bow around who Keisha is today and what Keisha will not allow herself to experience ever again in life. And I'm very thankful for the experiences that I had to grow from to be where I am today.
Yeah, that's really good. And, you know, for me, it's still a little fresh. So okay. I will tell you that I'm not yet at the thankful part. I'm getting there.
I get it.
I'm getting there. It's hard to be thankful for that degree of pain, but I absolutely can see how that has ushered me into this beautiful next chapter. And yes. So I'm getting there, Keisha, being able to really say, you know, okay, I'm thankful for what I went through.
And let me just share this. It ain't been no easy road to get to the, be very transparent. It has not been an easy road to get to the thankful. But yeah. What that did was it allowed me to truly focus on, I am thankful for the growth that I gained from what was negative, what can continue to appear to be negative. I've been able to grow from that and see myself in that growth. So that's the thankful part. It's not so much of all the different things I'm thankful that I was put through, but I'm thankful I'm able to grow. And I have grown from those situations because now I know this girl ain't gonna ever, and I can say that, right? This girl ain't gonna ever deal with some of the things I allowed myself at times to deal with for whatever the reason may have been.
That's right. That's so good.
So Dr. Nicole, as we are getting closer to the end of today's episode, I have two questions left for you. But the one question is this: as you step into your next chapter, what excites you the most about your future? And how are you embracing the unknown?
I think the unknown is actually what excites me the most about my next chapter. And that is very different for me because I've talked already about me being relatively type A, you know, scientist, all those things. So I'm somebody that generally likes to have a roadmap for my life. And in fact, when I was very young, I had already planned out my whole life, where I was going to go to college. I was going to be this type of doctor, all the things, be married, have kids. And so now I'm at this, you know, exciting and a little bit scary, but mostly exciting of course. Season of my life where I don't know what the future holds. And I'm excited about that. I am in a space of surrendering to God's will for my life and being open to whatever that looks like. You know, my podcast, my new business, who knows? Like I'm totally open to whatever life has to offer me. And I'm trying to enter this new season with a spirit of curiosity and, you know, not to be too jaded based on what I've gone through, but also wiser, as you stated, and really just open. I am just like open to possibility. So I'm very excited about that.
That's good. So Dr. Nicole, one question I always ask my guests as we are at the end of Heart to Heart with Keisha B. What is one heart-to-heart message that you would leave for our listeners today?
I would say forgive yourself because it may not apply to everyone, you know, dealing with grief and loss, but I think that we have a natural tendency to blame ourselves for things that happen, even if we had nothing to do with them, or certainly, you know, if we did. And for me, that's also been a big part of my healing journey is recognizing, you know, the role I played, acknowledging that, and then forgiving myself. Like you said, that was that other version of me and understanding why that version of Nicole made the decisions that she made. And then, you know, showing her grace and love and compassion and then moving on to this new season.
So Dr. Nicole, before we leave today, I need to make sure that my listeners not only will watch this podcast, but also be able to continue to follow you through your journey with your next chapter. So I would like for you at this time to tell our guests where they can find you at and how they can continue to support you.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. This has been an awesome conversation. I also have a podcast. So if you're listening to Keisha B's podcast, whatever app you're listening to that on, you can likely find my podcast as well. It's called Your Next Chapter. You can also find me on Instagram at yournextchapter_co. If you search Your Next Chapter on Facebook, you will find me there as well. And then my website is yournextchapter.co.
All right. As always, we want to thank you, Dr. Nicole, for sharing and being very vulnerable in a space that thousands of listeners will be impacted by your story and your transparency. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning into Heart to Heart with Keisha B. Remember, grief may shape our journey, but it doesn't define who we are. Healing is not a straight path, but with every step forward, you're creating space for hope, strength, and new beginnings. If today's episode brought you comfort or clarity, share it with someone who might need it too. Let's continue building this community of compassion and resilience together. Until next time, take care of your heart, your mind, and your soul. Honor your journey and always know that brighter days are ahead. I am Keisha B, and this has been Heart to Heart.